Sometimes you're feeling burnt out and can't do any more.
So today we're going to encourage you to do a little less.
This is the Wayward Podcast.
Just asked Brianna Buckmaster in terms of getting a topic. I said, okay, what are we going to do next? Success or burnout? Burnout, and she goes, yeah, I think so. So I guess today's topic is...
So, yes, burnout. This is a very specific term that I've read a lot about lately. I feel like a lot of people, a lot of articles are coming out about the extreme amount of burnout in our generation. Not even our generation, just... in our time. And I think that's for a lot of very general reasons. One of them, I think, is social media. Social media and iPhones. I am always available. And when I am always available, I feel a responsibility to be available. And to be in response.
Okay. So I did not, when I told you that, when you suggested this, I did not tell you this. Mm-hmm. My experience with the term burnout.
Oh.
My father was a public school teacher. Mm-hmm. And when I was 11 or 12, mm-hmm. He had been teaching for long time. Mm-hmm. And all I knew is that the principal didn't like it when he whistled in the hallways. So all I knew. That's what I was told. And then he was institutionalized. Mm-hmm. He was put in a mental institution for 6 weeks. He was given electroshock therapy. I went to visit him. I remember vividly he was just in, I was like, his butt's naked. Huh. And he was, like, not home, and he was, like, a little kid visiting her father in a lockdown mental ward. Mm-hmm. And then when he came out, he took a sabbatical, quote-unquote, for burnout. Mm-hmm. And I was told that's what burnout is. And it's interesting that you bring up social media and iPhones, because obviously he had neither. This was in the early 80s, late 70s. Math is hard. But what I think is significant is a combination of expectations and trying to fit yourself into a reality.
Totally.
Like both your expectations of who you should be and other people's expectations.
Meeting their expectations.
Of who you should be. So my father was not meeting other people's expectations. He had his own expectations and no realistic way of articulating them. He also had a mental illness. That was not a part of this. But I do think you're onto something in that social media has created higher and less attainable expectations and less time for us to be alone with ourselves to realize who we are and what our own expectations for ourselves
are. And what our capabilities are. Like capability, our emotional capabilities, our mental capabilities, of course, our physical capabilities. Like, I never once last year sat down with myself and went, how am I doing? Not once. And I was having a hard time last year. And even when I would have, you know, I had some very significant anxiety attacks at conventions last year where I actually almost had to go home. And
I will, for those who are listening, I will vouch for this.
Yeah.
There were like stop, drop, and roll. Yeah. There were moments when it was full, like we stop, something is wrong and we have a member down.
Yeah.
Man overboard.
Yeah. And I didn't tell a ton of people about it because I didn't want it to be a thing. And also it raises the discussion, which makes you not feel better.
Yeah.
You
this know? Doesn't make me feel calmer.
Yeah. I don't be immersed
with everybody staring at me and going, are you still anxious? Are you still uncomfortable right now? How about now? Are you okay now?
But even when that happened, all I could think about was, what's the fastest solution so I can get back to work?
Yeah, not, this is a clear indication that I'm not okay.
That something's not right. I not once listened to myself. And it wasn't until December that I went, okay, so what's going on here?
Because burnout to me implies something that is self-induced.
I agree. I mean, burnout that can be itself. Arguable, yes.
Like an environment may contribute yes, to my experience.
Sure. Yeah.
But at some point, I'm the one who is like harder, faster, longer, stay here mm-hmm. to get what I want mm-hmm. instead of going, this environment is contributing to me not being okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the burnout is coming because either I choose not to leave or I don't see an alternative.
Or you don't, yeah, yes, you don't see an alternative because you are worried about letting people down. You're worried about people judging you. You're worried about outside expectations, like yes. you were saying. And for me, it was all of that. It was all of that and expectations I had on myself. I had many different career successes last year. And to me, that was the golden ticket. That was everything I could want. And I should be so grateful and I should say yes to all of these things because it's all I've ever wanted. So I did, but simultaneously was having a very hard time personally. And I was not checking in with myself before I said yes to these things that would physically and mentally drain me.
Mm-hmm.
So my takeaway from that going into this year, which is going to be equally hard, not because of career successes, but because of the amount of travel, I am now my number one priority. Number one. And I take something that you always are very good at reminding people, which is a quick flip like that in a person can cause people to take it personally. In my experience.
Mm-hmm. When you stop people pleasing,
yeah.
people stop being pleased.
Yes.
That's not original, but if you heard it from me first, you can send me a dime.
Yeah, you win. I didn't hear that before you. It's very good. I'm going to say it and call it mine now. And so I guess I was people pleasing, but I more was catering to the needs of others before myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year I discovered I just no longer have the capacity for that. And I'm prioritizing my own health, which is not always going over well, but I'm practicing the art of not making other people's discomfort my responsibility. I'm not doing anything to harm anybody else. I'm not disregarding other people's feelings if they come to me with them. But if there is just a discomfort that I'm sensing, I cannot any longer go to people in search of solutions, which used to be my MO. I used to love to problem solve, and I just don't have it in me anymore.
So here's a question that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that perhaps burnout is not the result, but rather the teacher? Maybe more and more 100%. People are suffering burnout because more and more people need it as a lesson to step into taking care of themselves.
So this is what I think about lessons or blessings, as
Lisa says. Yeah.
So is that people can be burnt out. People can have traumatic things happen in their lives and choose not to see the lesson. And I think for many years I chose not to see lessons. And now I'm choosing to see it. And that's where the change comes. So yes, I do think that burnout can be the end because you physically cannot continue in the way you've been continuing. And that's what it's telling you. But I think that I also could have gone, I'll be fine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I could have, like,
yes.
I could have
yes.
continued but to have thing, anxiety
but
attacks.
The great thing in my experience is that the more I ignore a lesson, mm-hmm. the more painful I am going to.
Exactly.
I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't going to go away.
I would say, like, the universe just throws. I made a joke, like, the universe will throw chairs at you. It will do anything in its power to wake you up until you learn your lesson. But some people don't learn it till they're 90 years old, you know?
Yeah, and never learning it is an option. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is that you're just in a lot of pain. And I feel like burnout happening fast. Like, we were talking to, Brianna and I were talking to a 15-year-old girl who's already saying things that sound like burnout.
Totally.
She's like, I'm not sleeping. I sleep 5 hours a night. Uh-huh. I'm stressed about this. I want to do this, but I feel like I have to do this. Mm-hmm. So I end up doing both and mm-hmm. I don't have enough. And it's just like, holy shit.
And I worry about 15. That generation, right? Exactly.
Yes, but that generation is also the ones that are more and more and more telling me, I don't pay attention to that shit anymore. Oh, I don't really care about that stuff anymore. Like,
is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm hearing more and more kids just be like, oh, no, I don't. Like, they're learning faster than I did. Hmm. The attraction of this gal we were talking to, she was like, I'm starting to realize maybe I don't have to see who Ariana Grande is dating today. I do. I'll go down the rabbit hole. But, boy, the idea of... Like, I had to take the news off my phone.
Yeah.
Not because I care who Ariana Grande is dating, mm-hmm. but I do care who's ahead in the political polls. Mm-hmm. Same
yes.
thing. Same thing. Can I act on it? Like, that's the other thing. Shit that is not actionable
yeah.
that I give my heart to. Because if I'm giving something energy, my energy comes from my heart. I am just a heart-centered person. Mm-hmm. So if I care about something and if I am focusing on it, it is getting a piece of my love, even if that love is couched in fear or hate or love for something that is the opposite of what I'm looking at. I'm giving it my love. And if I actually can't do anything about it, how is it earned? How does that deserve my love? Mm-hmm. How does that deserve any of me? It can't reciprocate. So if I just drain all my love into this thing that I have no, that I can't receive anything from, I'm going to burn out. Mm-hmm. I will burn through all of my resources and I'll be left with nothing because I'm feeding it into something that actually doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. They can't feed me back, you know? So how do I recognize stuff that doesn't feed me back?
So you, what I'm hearing is that you're experiencing burnout by giving non-cyclically. Mm. Giving and not receiving.
I don't think I would not classify my life as having experienced burnout.
Okay.
I have fallen down the rabbit hole of self-pity mm-hmm. frequently, which can look like burnout.
Yeah.
But what do
does you
that
see
the
like?
Difference? For me, self-pity is the lying down and saying I can't go on.
Yeah.
When
I
what I need
that.
Is for other people to pick me up. I definitely, like, bless my little heart. I did that in grad school and ended up hospitalized. I've done that a number of times when I don't actually see when I'm not my own source of strength and I want other people to be my strength. Mm-hmm. And so then I just really feel sorry for myself that nobody's giving me what I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I don't judge myself for that. And I try not to judge other people who do that. But I don't think that's burnout. I think that's self-pity. I think burnout is truly when I have exhausted all of my resources and I'm left with nothing for me. And I have not experienced that in my life. I have always kind of gotten close enough, I think, from witnessing my parents. Like, I think this is one situation where I didn't have to touch the stove to know it's hot because my dad had a big scar on his hand that he carried for the rest of his life. Like, one of the ways I can honor his pain and his journey is by not repeating it and going, oh, when I feel myself, it's like that moment when you're starting to fall forward and your hands start windmilling and you go, I was able to go up. Nope. Back up. Stop now. And as a result, there's a lot of things that I could have lost in my life that I haven't.
Interesting, because you learned a lesson from watching it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen that often.
No. It does not. I learned a few lessons from watching them from my dad, where I was like, oh, that's that way
awful is, and yeah. strange and wonderful gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think probably the closest I came to burnout is when we were, no, and that's not even burnout. Like when we were going through foreclosure and I was trying to modify the loan so we could stay in our house and we ultimately did not. But even that wasn't burnout so much as panic and just not being equipped and, you know,
just a situation. Yeah, I would always, qualify my burnout as my insomnia. Mm-hmm. Which was, I thought my burnout was coming from insomnia, but my insomnia was caused by burnout, my anxiety attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember for the last couple of years, I was sick all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Jason about that. I was like, I haven't been sick since last fall. And he prides himself on how he told me to never touch my face. And I'm like, no, it's just because I fucking learned how to take care of myself.
It takes, your body burns energy.
Yeah.
And I think too little credence is given to the amount of energy emotions need.
Mm-hmm.
Like energy is energy.
Yeah,
that's a fucking law of physics.
We are scientists now.
So expending energy on emotions, well, where's your body supposed to draw it from to be healthy?
Yeah. It's your brain. Like, your emotions are not a pretend thing. They are literally chemicals running through your body and exhausting parts of your brain, which then exhausts part of your organs. Everything. I was talking about this today in a panel where I was like, or yesterday, when I was like, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, is that I forget that my mouth moves and my thoughts think because my body is doing a very complex scientific thing. Sometimes I try to separate myself, especially my emotional and mental self, from my body. And I'm like, no, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
You can't go, oh, I'm so emotional today, and think it's not a direct result of how you're treating your body, and vice versa.
And yet, I treat them so differently. Like, if someone says, hey, Kim, you might not know this, but your leg is broken, I wouldn't say, nah, I think I'm going to try to run a couple miles anyway.
Yeah.
But if someone said, hey, Kim, you're tired and you're not thinking right, and you're really, really sad, and it's affecting the way you communicate, I absolutely would be like, that's cool. I'm going to this interview anyway.
Yeah. Or like, oh, okay, I'm fine now.
I'll power through. No, yeah. I don't anymore. Thank goodness. Now, that's a gift of my own programs that I work, that I had to work. And I just went, oh, now I recognize when I'm a little off, when my decisions are not based on my highest good or anyone else's highest good, but rather what I call defects of character, character defenses, things that are old tools that don't serve me. Mm-hmm. And when I start making decisions from that place, they don't feel like I don't have to get as off balance before I recognize I'm off balance anymore.
Nice.
The path I'm walking on has gotten a lot narrow, more narrow.
Yeah.
So when I get a little wobbly, I'm much faster to go, whoa, okay, I've got tools to correct this. Let's get back on course.
Nice. I think that's a goal, or should be the goal for all of us.
It's much more comfortable. It seems like a lot more work up front.
It is up front. It is more work up front, but it is less work in the long haul.
Oh, man. And it opens up the capacity. Like, I don't think anybody necessarily burns themselves out if they don't believe it will make them happy. Right?
Yeah.
But nobody on the floor from burnout is capable of feeling happy.
No.
It's been robbed from me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Again, from my experience watching it. So truly, if the goal is being happy, stop doing the shit that's going to burn me out. Mm-hmm. And start doing the shit that's going to keep me balanced, mm-hmm. even though it seems counterintuitive.
And it seems like I've spent the last, especially the last, like, 4 months treating my mental and spiritual health like a fucking full-time job. You name a therapist, I've seen it. Him or her. But there is still this strange little voice in the back of my head that goes, you're such a pussy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where you're just kind of like, are you being a little indulgent?
Yeah.
Come on. Do you really need all of this? There's still that voice that's like, calm down. Just, you know, have some water and a nap.
Yeah.
And it's not that simple.
That it is self-pity.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is that.
It's not self-pity. It's self,
indulgence.
Self-indulgence,
that
yes.
It's, yes, that I'm indulging.
And then self-sabotage, right?
Oh.
Inevitably.
Yeah.
By going, and that's the thing is, like, we all think of self-sabotage as, you know, overindulgence. Overindulging in sex or alcohol or drugs or
yeah.
or
telling off your boss and,
you know,
putting
wrong
a
thoughts
chair through the window.
Yeah. It's overindulgence. We always think of too much. Self-sabotage is just too much. But self-sabotage is also not enough. It's sometimes not giving yourself enough of something you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I understand that little voice that says, for me, that voice says you shouldn't need this.
Yeah.
Like, you're wrong for having
your
needs.
Yes.
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 And that I have to catch
yeah.
and just be like, oh, hello, voice.
Yeah.
I don't know why that voice is in my head. I'm sure a number of different therapists could give it a number of different routes.
Uh-huh.
But the fact is, that voice is in my head and it fucking lies.
Uh-huh.
And that's taken me a long time to learn.
Yes.
That the voices in my head are capable of lying to me, especially the ones that don't want me to be kind to myself.
Because mm-hmm. they are. Everybody has those voices. We all call them different things. I call it my ego, because what my ego does is it feeds off of things. And it feeds off of two things. It feeds off of validation and compliments. And it feeds off of negativity and self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
So while it sounds boring, not letting it feed off of either of those things is the goal. So it sounds like a bummer to not get excited when somebody says, here's your fucking Oscar. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To not get excited about the greatest compliment or validation you've ever received. But if you believe in that, then you will also believe somebody telling you you're not worthy.
Well, and it also sounds so freeing to me to be like, well, then you don't need it. Well, wouldn't that be nice if mm-hmm. I don't need it to be like,
yeah, that's
what
true.
If I could be just as happy with an Oscar or without an Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with taking care of myself. And I can't. Like, look, here the thing is, I have to eat. If I don't put food in my face so that my body digests it, it is going to start digesting itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the facts. And ultimately, if I don't ever put food in my face, it will digest itself and then I will die. My emotional needs are the same way. I can't make myself not have emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I can either treat them and feed them healthy, loving, self-care, nurturing things, or they're going to be like, well, the need's still here. Yeah, I'll take it from over there.
Yeah.
I'll take it from over there. I'll take it from you. I'll take it from you. Like, I can't make the need go away.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to choose how I fill it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that burnout is more and more and more going, don't have needs, shut up. And you just emotionally eat yourself.
Yeah.
You just digest your own heart and then poof.
There's nothing left of you.
You're a Leviathan.
Oh, what is that one again?
That's the one with the big mouth.
Oh, damn it.
Has to eat itself.
Thought it was... What's the one with the fingers that become spears?
Oh, fuck. Don't ask me these questions.
I'm going to make it hard.
Ghoul. It's a really common word.
Ghoul sounds right.
Hold on a second. I'll put in some music while I look this up. Wraith.
Oh, wraith. Good one.
Yes. They have retractable wrist spikes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I knew it was a common... It's a common supernatural in a lot of, like, different stories, but this... They don't, like, historically have retractable wrist spikes that go in your brain, I don't think. That's just supernatural.
I wouldn't know. And if I did know, I wouldn't remember.
Yeah. At any rate, the point you were making them about them is that they're bad and make you feel bad.
No, you were talking about a supernatural
eating your
monster.
Brain. Oh, no, that's right. I mentioned Leviathans, yes. And then you said, what yes. was that one? And then we
you
got
guys, to- we're yeah. really tired.
We're so tired. We're not suffering burnout. We're just tired.
Just tired. And there is a difference.
There is. So here's the thing. We were just advocating self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this case, we should probably wrap it up.
Yes.
So we can both take
Have
some
naps. Yeah. So the takeaway from this, ladies and all of the gentlemen listening to this, is that...
And non-identifying.
Non-identifying
and anywhere
genders,
in between.
Love that. Is that it is important and it is not a weakness to check in with yourself and to say... It's time to take a break.
Yeah. Yeah. Burn candles. Don't burn out.
And with that, we say adieu.
I love you, Brianna Bugmaster.
I love you, Kim Rhodes.